CD 7.
When one accidentally puts one boot in a swamp, it is quite unpleasant. But not as unpleasant as pushing down with the other boot and hearing that, too, disappear with a soft, sucking noise. Harkardly pressed on. You see, wizardry is more... Are we not more powerful than the gods, then? Said Coyne. Some of the wizards at the back of the crowd began to shuffle their feet. Well, yes and no, said Harkardly, up to his knees in it now. The truth was that wizards tended to be somewhat nervous about the gods. The beings who dwelt on Cori Celesti had never made their feelings plain on the subject of ceremonial magic, which after all had a certain godness about it, and wizards tended to avoid the whole subject. The trouble with gods was that if they didn't like something, they didn't just drop hints. So common sense suggested that it was unwise to put the gods in a position where they had to decide.
There seems to be some uncertainty, said Coyne.
If I may counsel, Harkardly began. Coyne waved a hand. The walls vanished. The wizards stood at the top of the Tower of Sorcery, and as one man their eyes turned to the distant pinnacle of Cori Celesti, home of the gods.
When you've beaten everyone else, there's only the gods left to fight, said Coyne. Have any of you seen the gods?
There was a chorus of hesitant denials.
I will show them to you.
You got room for another one in there, old son? Said War.
Pestilence swayed unsteadily.
I'm sure we should be getting along,
he muttered without much conviction.
No, go on.
Just a half, then, and then we really must be going.
War slapped him on the back and glared at Famine. And we'd better have another 15 bags of peanuts, he added.
Ooh,
the librarian concluded.
Oh, said Rincewind, it's the staff that's the problem, then.
Ooh.
Hasn't anyone tried to take it away from him?
Ooh.
What happened to them, then?
Ooh.
Rincewind groaned. The librarian had put his candle out because the presence of the naked flame was unsettling the books. But now that Rincewind had grown accustomed to the dark, he realized it wasn't dark at all. The soft octarine glow from the books filled the inside of the tower with something that, while it wasn't exactly light, was a blackness you could see by. Now and again, the ruffle of stiff pages floated down from the gloom.
So basically, there's no way our magic could defeat him, isn't that right?
The librarian ooked disconsolate agreement and continued to spin around gently on his bottom.
Pretty pointless, then. It may have struck you that I am not exactly gifted in the magical department. I mean, any duel is going to go along the lines of, hello, I'm Rincewind, closely followed by Bazam.
Ook.
Basically, what you're saying is that I'm on my own.
Ook. Thanks. By their own faint glow, Rincewind regarded the books that had stacked themselves around the inner walls of the ancient tower. He sighed and marched briskly to the door, but slowed down noticeably as he reached it.
I'll be off then, he said.
Ook.
To face who knows what dreadful perils, Rincewind added. To lay down my life in the service of mankind? All right. Bipeds.
Oof.
And quadrupeds, all right.
He glanced at the patrician's jam jar, a beaten man.
And lizards, he added. Can I go now?
A gale was howling down out of a clear sky as Rincewind toiled towards the Tower of Sorcery. Its high white doors were shut so tightly that it was barely possible to see their outline in the milky surface of the stone. He hammered on it for a bit, but nothing much happened. The doors seemed to absorb the sound.
Fine thing, he muttered to himself, and remembered the carpet.
It was lying where he had left it, which was another sign that Ankh had changed. In the thieving days before the sorcerer, nothing stayed for long where you left it. Nothing printable, anyway. He rolled it out on the cobbles so that the golden dragons writhed against the blue ground. Unless, of course, the blue dragons were flying against a golden sky. He sat down. He stood up. He sat down again and hitched up his robe and, with some effort, unrolled one of his socks. Then he replaced his boot and wandered around a bit until he found, among the rubble, a half brick. He inserted the half brick into the sock and gave the sock a few thoughtful swings. Rincewind had grown up in Morpork. What a Morpork citizen likes to have on his side in a fight was odds of about 20-1. But failing that, a sock full of half brick and a dark alley to lurk in was generally considered a